If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And welcome back. Thanks for being with us here on a Monday morning. As we talk about healthcare in Alberta, the question, though, of how technology can be used to help with healthcare, to help us understand not just what we're dealing with now, but what we might be dealing with in the future. As an article in The Star puts it, imagine a computer reading your health information and telling you your heart is aging faster than those of other people your age, or that within the next few years you could develop depression, that sort of thing. So a couple of studies led to the University of Alberta using an algorithm to try to predict future health trajectories. So there was data used for this through the Canadian Longitudinal Study on Aging. So that collects information on biological, social, and other changes in about 50,000 individuals from 45 to 85 over 20 years. So in one study, the team tried to develop a way of charting individuals' aging trajectories, and then using an algorithm to predict the chronological age of people using characteristics in their blood. Second study, researchers predicted with roughly 72% accuracy which individuals had experienced the new onset of depression within 3 years. So there's still some work to be done here, but this is maybe what healthcare starts to look like down the road. Joining us to talk more about this, very pleased to welcome to the program here this morning, one of the professors involved in this, Dr. Beau Kao, professor, University of Alberta, Canada, research chair in computational psychiatry, and as mentioned, was a lead researcher on this. Professor Kao, good to have you with us here. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, we got you on the line. Appreciate you joining us here today. So talk a bit more about these two studies and what it was you were seeing you could do.
Oh, yeah. So, this is a very, we appreciate the opportunity to use this prestigious data from Canada on aging. And what we hope to do is, to use all this data and use some what we call the machine learning algorithm to summarize the data so that, we understand better about the complex the trajectory of aging. So as you may know, aging may involve multiple things. So we try to use this data and the algorithm to try to see, can we summarize it into some simple number to try to give us a sense, how people age.
So how does this technology work? So once you have the data, how does the technology interpret that?
So it's actually similar or one step further compared to traditional statistics. So we pull all the data together and we don't make a lot of hypotheses about it. We actually let the data tell us which one is more important to predict the aging trajectory. But on the other hand, the limitation on that is that this actually gives you the idea of how people age, but it may not be directly associated with some of the health conditions. It's not like that sensitive to the specific health conditions. So that's why we performed the study. We developed this aging trajectory, and then we see, whether this aging trajectory reflecting some of the health conditions on some of the lifestyle habits and other things. So we developed an aging index based on this data, and then we use this aging index to see how this, what we call the age gap, the difference between the predicted age versus the individual's age, mm-hmm. how that gap is associated with some other health condition.
The study that looked at depression and did pretty good then, this algorithm, predicting with roughly 72% accuracy individuals would experience a new onset of depression within 3 years. So how did that work? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we actually tried to use the baseline, what we call the predictors or all the variables, to try to see whether we can use that information to predict or classify the future onset of depression during the follow-up of that study. And the accuracy you were talking about was using all kinds of variables together. But we also use different variables, including some of the you know, what we call the psychological skills or like relevant to clinical symptom skills. And we also use some variables other than those variables, you know, to see what's the difference there. So roughly we are approaching around 70% of accuracy in general. But that is actually promising, you know, for such data and for such outcomes, because we know depression is a quite heterogeneous and it's very difficult to predict.
So I guess the question is, I mean, does this become commonplace at some point? Can we use this technology to you know, predict what problems people might be facing down the road?
Not in the very near future, maybe not in the next couple of years, but we're hoping that, you know, in 5 to 10 years, we can at least use this type of prediction to help patients, to help clinicians, to help policymakers and stakeholders to assist them to make, you know, well-informed decisions. So they are still the ones who make the decision, the patient, clinicians, stakeholders, and policymakers. But, you know, because this type of algorithm and this type of data, you know, it's very thorough, you know, about the individual's health history. So it may become a well-informed decision assistant for those people.
Right. And for that, I mean, for that to work or for that to exist, you need access to data. You know, are we already gathering all of this health data on all of us, or what would we be drawing on in the future? That would have to change, wouldn't it?
Good question. Yeah. So actually, no, because, you know, so the data we are working on are totally de-identified. So we don't know who they are. And for this thing to work in the future, right, we need a very explicit consent. You know, for example, if someone wants to collect my data, I have to agree, okay, my data is being used in this way. And then, you know, like, that's actually only one direction. But after you have the prediction, right, about your future condition, I also have to have the consent that whether I want to know about it, right? Not everyone wants to know about it. So, you know, not only about like the whether we have the data or whether we have the predictive model, but it's also about, okay, how we are going to use it. And, you know, like who gets the right to know that, right? And how do we deliver those information? So that part is actually needs more work, you know, about the privacy, about the legal system, about how the health information is handled. And we want to be like cautious about those things before, you know, we just directly, you know, let people know, oh, you know, we can predict it. Let's directly use that. So that's actually something we need a lot of discussion, you know, with different stakeholders here.
Very interesting. Well, we'll leave there for now. Professor Kao, thanks so much for joining us here today. Really appreciate it.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.